The idea came about. I was talking to a colleague of mine, Kevin Brannigan, and we were chatting. We're both big football fans, and we were chatting about the Women's Premier Division and tossing around ideas about a project that we could work on that would like highlight the league and really how incredible it is and the quality of football. So we started talking about it, an observational documentary series, and we kind of started off with Shelburne. They were the first club that we were in touch with, and we were back and forth with them. And then we decided, you know, we'd love to kind of broaden it out and include a couple of other clubs as well. So we landed on Peenemünde United and Galway United to make up the three clubs.
And the thing about this, you are touching on three clubs who have amazing history in the women's game for one reason or another. I mean, you mentioned Peamount. I mean, they have been the stalwarts of the women's game for quite some time, a team that have played in Europe, a team who've given a countless amount of internationals to the Ireland setup. But with Galway United, was it on the back of their success in the All-Ireland Cup, or was there something a little bit deeper than that, that maybe looking at the history of the club from its days as Galway WFC, which it was, to it joining the Galway United setup in totality, and then its success in recent times? And of course, it has a manager like none other in Phil Trill. So there's maybe a combination of all.
Well, I suppose we landed on them before the All Ireland Cup victory. So we started off with them. We first met them probably November 2022, and then we started filming in January 23. And it was a case that we were looking at a lot of all of the clubs really in the league, and we were trying to figure out what stories they had to tell. And then we knew that the thing about, you know, Galway Women's Football Club unfortunately having to fold. And we thought, you know, like that is an interesting story in itself, that and that this other club, Galway United, have come in and they've taken on board the women's team. And obviously it's been massively successful and a great decision by them to do that. So yeah, we thought the stories that were there from the club point of view, and also from the players and the staff. And as you say, Phil is a really exciting manager. And so between all of that, we thought Galway United were a great choice.
So has this been an ongoing project for 18 months or so?
Yeah, well, sorry, we didn't start filming in 22, but we met the clubs and we kind of laid out what our plans were, and what we would like from them and what they were comfortable with us doing. And then they all, you know, came back to us with their preseason schedules. So we started with them in January, started filming from January, really dark, horrible, wintry, rainy nights in January, out with them from then. So it was about 11 months of filming.
It's a fair bit of a fair bit of job to do, and to be given that permission to kind of go behind the scenes, which is what all of us, dare I say it, whether we admit it or not, love to see. Because you know, you see the action on the field, but very rarely people would actually see the stories behind the story. If you know what I mean, you must be very happy with the reaction you got to the first edition last Monday.
Absolutely. It's been great. It's been really, really positive so far. And the most important thing for us is that the clubs and the players are very happy with it. You know, it takes a big leap of faith for anyone really to put themselves forward and allow filming to happen, especially in the way that we did it. You know, was very observational. We were asking them to trust us from the start and let us into the pre-match team talks, the halftime team talks, all of that stuff. And thankfully, you know, they did put that trust in us. And as I said, it's not an easy thing to do, but I think it paid off in the end. So as you say, that is what people love to see. I mean, you know, they can watch a lot of the matches on TG Cahir or you know, go down in person. So they will get that element of it, the football match element of it, but they probably don't know all the behind the scenes stuff.
And have the clubs, obviously the clubs, I'm probably asking a dumb question here, but I have to ask it, that the clubs have had a chance to see all the four episodes before it goes out on air. Are they must be very happy with what they have seen and how they're portrayed, because that's also another issue, and it can be a very serious one sometimes with programs of this type, is that you know, somebody might watch it and go, well, you're not showing me in a good light here. They must be very happy with how it's all panned out.
Well, they haven't actually seen them. They're watching them along with everybody else, actually.
Wow.
So look, that'd be something that we would do for any program that we make. we generally wouldn't share it with people in advance, because as you say, look, people, they might become a bit self-conscious. They might say, oh God, I don't look great there, or I didn't mean to say that, or whatever. But what we were trying to say to them is that what will connect with viewers is reality and authenticity. So, you know, you have to just let us be there and let us see the reality of what happens in women's football. And we assured them, of course, we weren't going to throw anyone under the bus. That wasn't our intention. Our intention is to highlight the game, highlight the clubs and the players and the staff and everyone involved, and make them, you know, look as good as possible. But people will connect with a programme if they feel it's real. So that's what we wanted to put across.
Now, I'm going to ask you a question, and this is purely for myself, but I'm a bit of a technical head given what I do, obviously. What kind of work, and when I talk work, I mean cameras, personnel, so on. How many people were involved in the making of this production?
So there's myself and the producer, Conor O'Mahony was the director. And then we had a kind of a team of camera people. So it really depending on the day and depending on the match, we might have two camera people covering. Like, as I said, you know, people can go and watch the matches themselves, or they can watch them on TG Car. So we weren't necessarily trying to do like a match of the day style. We didn't feel we needed to capture every moment of every match. But if there was a particularly important game, or maybe if two of our clubs were playing each other, we tend to cover that a little more. So we'd have a couple of camera people, maybe some cameras also behind each goal. So that's, and then one sound recordist was plenty for us. But it was an awful lot of footage to get through, you know, 11 yeah, months of that.
Sorry to interrupt you, but while it's in my head, I have to ask this question. I mean, the amount of editing and just compiling it all together to turn it into, you know, four individual programs must have taken an immense amount of work. And this is the kind of stuff that people don't see, that, you know, once you have the footage, that's fine and grand, but you have to kind of edit it together and put it together. I mean, that must have taken an immense amount of time.
It did. We underestimated how much time initially that was going to take. Our editor was fantastic, Ronan O'Murza. He's a Dublin man, but he's based up in Donegal, and he was working mostly remotely from Donegal. And he had an awful lot of material to get through. You know, we tried to help him as much as we could, and we had an assistant there to kind of break stuff down for him. And Conor O'Mahony, the director, worked very closely with him on deciding structure and making the difficult decisions that you have to make in the edit of dropping things that you really wish you didn't need to drop. But we had an abundance of riches, which I guess is, you know, a good thing, but it's also very difficult then to chop it down to just 4 half hours.
Yeah, that's amazing though. 4 half hours out of countless hours of footage. And yes, maybe sometimes people don't realize the amount of work that goes into doing something like that. Now, we've already seen episode one. What can we expect in the next 3 episodes? Are you going to keep them close to your chest?
No, well, the series kind of flows like chronologically. So obviously episode one was kind of pre-season and up to the first couple of games in the season. And then in episode two, we follow that on. So we keep going, I guess. And obviously episode four is the end of the season and the champions being crowned. In each episode, we slightly focus more on one of the clubs, you know, than the others. And we try and tell their story a little more. And also getting to know the players is huge. You know, it's like they're the real driving force of it. They're, people want to know those characters and the kind of sacrifices they're making and the passion they have and the dedication they have. And, you know, they're really impressive women who are giving up a lot because of their love of football. You know, they're balancing work and families and friends and not really being able to have a social life because they're so dedicated to their sport. So across the next 3 episodes, we kind of get to know those players a little more.
Another question is in my head, but, you know, given what's been happening in recent times with the success of the Republic of Ireland team in qualifying for the World Cup, and of course the European qualifiers recently against France and England, and you know, being in the Nations League and the success of our underage teams and the general increase in interest in the women's game. I mean, that's something that also has tied into the success of this as well, because people want to know more and more what's going on. And what's significant, and maybe you can say I'm right or wrong on this, but there seems to be a lot more interest in the domestic game, in the Women's National League, on the back of everything that's been going on. Because, like we know, the Women's National League, now sponsored by Airtricity, has taken off in a big way.
Yeah, it's fantastic to see. And I hope that's the way it continues. It's looking that way. I mean, when you think about the Ireland-England match the other night being, you know, shown in place of the Champions League game, that was a big statement by RTE. And it was absolutely right, in my opinion. You know, they deserve the same recognition. Like, as I said, they're putting in the same level of effort, the same training hours, the same sessions in the gym. They're doing everything that the men's game is doing. But so up to this point, you know, probably haven't gotten the recognition they deserve. But people are finally starting to see that. And we have a couple in our series. We've a couple that are huge fans of Shells. And, you know, they talk about kind of the difference. They go and see Shells men's team on a Friday and they go and see the women's team on a Saturday. And the difference is, you know, there's actually... The Saturday game is very entertaining. I mean, not that the Friday one isn't either, but you can see the passages of play a little clearer. You can see the skill. There's like unbelievable skillful players playing women's football. And just the atmosphere is lovely. So, you know, I hope that continues. And I hope people really get on board with it and go down and support their local clubs.
Absolutely. Finally, last question. And if people want to see the next three episodes, well, first of all, can they see the first one and catch up if they've missed it? And where can they see the other three?
Yeah, so we're on every Monday night at 8 o'clock on RTE1. So we've three more episodes left, and then the whole series will be up on the RTE player.